Rally to me, Escalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Hello and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls ruminate on the relative value of green versus red fireworks with one grumpy pants. I'm Hashtag and I'm joined as always by Hunter and Alona. Hello.
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 That is actually something that we did do for some reason.
I only half listening for that conversation because I don't really remember this.
Oh, no, you were part of it.
Was I?
Yeah.
Was I tired?
Night.
Well, I assumed You're it would have been last night.
You're always tired.
It's true.
True. Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
I would like to start us off. Twitch.tv at Hosts of Ascalon. Let me finish tweeting.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
It took me a while. All right. Professional podcast. Done. Phone down. All right,
sweet
so
Jesus.
So I world versus worlded with Panther and Zero this past little while because I discovered there's still Carapace armor pieces that I need. I was looking like, why don't I have some of this? What is it? The Luminous?
You can Can't you get that through PvE? Didn't I take you through all of, everything in there?
I haven't got the medium or heavy leggings.
I don't have any of them.
Well, we can figure out a way to get them.
Yeah. So I was doing it with well, I'm into that track right now anyway. Zero was super great at, you know, guiding me around because I don't world versus world hardly ever and I didn't really know what the heck I was doing, but it was a lot of fun actually. We mostly just what is it when it's like just like a like
You're roaming.
People, roaming, yeah. And there was one other player kind of hitched their wagon to us, so it was three of us tootling around. Panther had to drop off at one point, so it was the three of us tootling around, and that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I finally finished Deadeye, Firebrand, and Weaver in the last couple of weeks. Weaver I just finished last night. So,
I finished those, like, literally the day Path of Fire.
Yeah, well, some of us aren't as
organized. I don't know. Something. So I have those done now, and I haven't tried Deadeye at all yet, and I never tried it in the preview weekend. So same with Firebrand. I had tried Weaver in the preview weekends, so I've switched over. I think I'm going to switch over both my Ellie to Weaver and my Guardian to Firebrand. I also finished the Shadow Provisions achievement, and that was because, and it was all because of Hashtag helping you, the One Night Hashtag. Mm-hmm. I realized, oh, I should probably do these too because I had not noticed this achievement at all. So I got all those done, and I think a variety of people ended up helping. Like you helped me a little bit with that, Hunter, and
I think I was in Desolation, and I saw Janindu Whisper going or something, right? And I let Hashtag know via Twitter DM, and she immediately logged in. Warped straight there, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually did... I did a lot in game this last little while, and stuff that you'd think I would have done before now, but hadn't. But as a result of the Shadow Provisions achievement, I discovered I also still need to do the Rock Collection, which is out of Draconis Mons. It's the same sort of deal. So now that's on my radar that I'm going to actively work towards Rock collection. I did a Dragon Stand meta with Zero and Panther, and as a result of going, we were actually going in there for, I don't know if we were in there for the meta or if it was just for Noxious Pods, but we ended up being in there for the meta, and I had not even realized, I had not been to Dragon Stand since Path of Fire had come out, so I've never been in there with the mounts, and mounts make it awesome.
Wait, so did you finish the meta?
Yeah.
Can you use mounts all the way at the end? Can you griffin around at the end?
You can. There's almost no point because all the movement thingies, like the air jets and the streams,
don't work.
Yeah, and they don't work. Yeah, ley lines. They don't work with mounts at all. So I think it was either Panther or Zero. I can't remember which one, you know, griffined off towards it. And he was like, this is much less useful than I thought it might be. So, but it was actually, I'm every time I do that meta and that final fight, I'm reminded how, like you were saying, Hunter, when you had done it before we had, how good that fight is.
Yeah.
It's just so good.
And visually stunning.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Actually, I had, I actually noticed a couple times, like I was going in and it was right when the boss was like coming up from below and I was like, oh, that looks really epic. And there was, I just got a really good angle of when it was like looping around to encounter one of the islands. And it was again, like, wow, this is beautiful. Like such a good job on that. Anyway, previous expansion. we did at least one key farm, the three of us. Do you remember, did we only do one hunter since last show?
I guess, yeah. We didn't do one this week, so.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're thinking about doing it after the show tonight, by the way.
Okay.
I subbed in for a raid night or day, I think it was an afternoon, with the Guild Heroes of Old. And while it was a lot of fun, I was way off my game. And I felt kind of bad because I was boning up everything. It was not a good scene. I just,
Well, it's been a while since you've raided.
Well, yeah. And as I was telling you earlier, hashtag, it was on my Condi PS Warrior, which isn't super great right now, or prior to the balance patch. Anyway, I have no idea what it's at now. And I was not, it was in fights that I hadn't done that. I'd normally done it with my Daredevil. Mm-hmm. So it was a different role, and I wasn't quite sure what I was doing. And it showed. It was not good. We missed guild missions this past Sunday. I was unable to make it secondary to the fact that it was also Super Bowl Sunday. So it just, missions didn't happen. But the previous week was super productive and fun. Like, I think there was only one or two things we didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember?
I was not there.
The challenge and... I don't remember what else. Was there a puzzle? Yeah.
We did a puzzle. I think we did a puzzle and a challenge. I think the only thing we didn't do was the 5 bounty. Which, yeah.
I was there.
You were
and
there.
I was there.
And by the way, you can buy the Divine Lucky envelopes with guild commendations in the guild hall. Three of them. Three of them a day, I think.
Yes. Three a day.
Need to do that. I dipped my toe into the Lunar New Year stuff yesterday. Hashtag came on and said, oh, get your envelopes before reset. And I was in the middle of doing something else, unlocking Weaver, you know, the important things. And I went, ma, ma, ma. And then reset happened. I didn't do it. So I missed that little window of opportunity because moron. But then I did the race once. I tried the race on foot, but I made a couple massive missteps on it. So I wasn't able to get the 8 envelopes you get for doing it on foot. And I tried the new activity, but I didn't do very good on it at all. But I'll try again now that I kind of understand what's going on with it. And ran just a couple legendary bounties with you last night, Hunter. You were in a group.
Yeah, that group going through. Didn't last very long, so...
Yeah.
Well, we caught the tail end of it, I think.
Yeah. So I think I was only, what, 2 or 3 bounties that I was able to take part in? But I really need to do more of those, because it's quite entertaining. And I do like the mechanics. And I had put something in here, something to surprise my two co-hosts. And my note is, how much karma do you think I have?
Well, you never spend it, even though we give you, like, ample opportunity to profit from it. Like, for instance, Winter's Day presents, where you could have bought so many Winter's Day presents every day for karma, but you never did because...
Well, that was more because I forgot.
You are at 8 million karma.
I am at 912,102.
What did you spend 5 million karma on?
What did I spend 5 million? I bought all the... Well, so some of this is karma, some of it not, but... I spent some time and bought all of the outstanding T1 and T2 cultural armor and all of the cultural weapon skins that I hadn't unlocked yet.
Oh my gosh.
And that took me down 5 million karma. And once I saw how far it was going down, I'm like, well, I'm in it now. Keep going.
Wow. No, that's awesome. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I should have realized that because I've spoken, bragged, I guess, about it in the past that I've bought all the cultural armor and weapons and it cost me like 5 million karma.
Yeah. So that was, I was like, okay. And the other thing is I did that last week, midweek last week. And I did not, I was like, I was sitting on it. And
Oh my gosh.
I almost mentioned to you, like, I'm down to less than a million karma. And I kept forgetting to tell. And I was like, oh, I'd catch myself like, no, I have to tell them on the show. And
I'm in shock. I really am, because you've always had so much. I've climbed back up to 3.8, but
it's gonna take me forever.
Past.
And something pursuant to that, I cleared out a bunch of bank and character bag slots, consuming skins that
you threw things away.
No, I consumed the skin. So
I thought you did that last year. It was so like,
no, I had a lot still. So my God. Because I didn't want to use the charges but then I realized I have 420 transmutation charges, so I can stand to throw away 20 skins.
Oh God.
Wow. I think I have 30.
I have a problem. So anyway, that was me. That's what I did. So hashtag, how about you?
Hold up a sec. Wait. Hashtag. Okay. Hashtag.
Yes.
You only have 30 transmutation charges.
Yeah. It's because I don't buy boxes.
You have like one character and you only change that one character.
Yeah. No, that's not true. I change a lot more than you think.
All right.
I mean, I usually change for major holidays and when I'm tired of my look. Yeah.
You must not have, like, ever done more than one world completion.
No, I've done three or four.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's more than me, because I've only done three.
I've only done 5, 6, maybe 7.
Wow.
All right.
All right. Anyway. So, this week I actually was proactive and I wrote everything down on sticky notes. So my monitor is surrounded by sticky notes right now. And actually got a lot done. So it was a good thing that I kept track.
Yes, and you've copy-pasted the actual sticky note icon into the show notes for some reason.
She said that your Hunter's going to give me grief about it. I'm like, he won't give you grief about it.
Called it.
You totally did.
Okay, so on my first sticky, I finished a lot of random collections, kind of like what you were talking about, Alona, where, you know, a little bit from Path of Fire, a little bit from Hot, a little bit from this and that. So I finished the current events. I finished the Golden Chicken in Auric Basin. And some of these events, like you were saying, Alona, so much easier now with mounts. So it's not...
But we also said we didn't want to talk about that too much, hashtag, because we don't want them to nerf things that make mounts easier.
No. Okay. Back up a sec. Golden Chicken in Auric Basin.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's the chicken that's hiding up near the top of Tahrir. It's kind of under a little outcropping.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, and you had to... It was kind of tricky to get to when you didn't have a griffin.
It was tricky gliding.
Right, yeah. Right. But now we have...
griffins and bunnies.
No. Yeah.
Yep. I did the Archaeotech Adept, which is Entangled Depths. I did the Istani Bounty Hunter. I finished that. Most of these, I had one thing left to do on them, and I just had put it off. I did the Dwarven Remnants, which is a Highlands collection, and Lost Doliac, which is another Highlands achievement. And then I did a bunch of stuff in Dubby Dub these past 2 weeks. So I finished the Triumphant Armor reward track in Dubby Dub and got a piece of Triumphant Armor, and then discovered I don't really like Triumphant Armor. I mean,
really,
it's okay.
Like, not one piece. There's a bunch of pieces I like from Triumphant Armor.
I guess I don't like the light version. So what I can wear is all right. I don't really care for it. It's okay. So I swapped and then changed to Crystal Desert reward track. So sticky note number two, I made it out of wood into diamond last week. So wood, what is it? Wood, bronze, silver, gold, diamond. So that was a lot of fun. It was a lot easier than I thought it would be once you got going and running with a good group. It goes fast. The highlight for me was reset last week, where I got 8 pips per tick.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think were you in map when I was in World versus World with Zero, and I was getting like 10?
Ugh.
And you were like, what?
Yes. Yes.
Were you outnumbered a little?
We were outnumbered. Briefly. Yeah. It didn't last.
So I'm inching my way up to level 150 so I can get an extra pip. I'm actually at 148 right now. So very, very close. And then I hopped off of Dubby Dub for a little bit. I completed Lost Pilgrims in Crystal Oasis. That's where you have to match the bones with the priests, I think. Something like that.
Oh, right. Yes. I remember doing that.
Yeah. I finished... I know you're in Shock Hunter. I finished Flameseeker Prophecies, which is Augury Rock. And Serpent Slayer in Vabi. I've done that before, but I didn't do it post when they added the achievements. So finally found a good group for that, and it was still super close.
I don't know why it has to be tuned so difficult.
As you mentioned before, Hunter, I did Janundu Rising, thanks to your tip to jump in game and get it while there was a group doing that in the Desolation, which allowed me to also finish Shadow Provisions. And then I finished the bells in the Edge of the Mists.
That's a great name,
right? I kind of accidentally finished it. Yay. I jumped into Edge of the Mist to just see if there were any easy achievements I could do, and I started running around and I rang a bell and boom, 5 points. So, you know, winning. Sticky number three, back to Dubby Dub. Like I said, I swapped to the Crystal Desert reward track and I finished it twice. I've been working on Bounty Hunter armor, which I like a lot better than Triumphant armor. So I've got a couple pieces of that now. I've been running with a group in Henja Denravi called Defense After Dark, or DEF. Their commander, Toxic Justin, has been super fantastic. A lot of fun running with this group. They have a Discord channel, so I really like popping in there and listening to their chatter.
I remember the name Toxic Justin somehow. I don't know how I know that name.
Maybe they transferred from Northern Shiver Peaks.
Possible, or maybe he's not on HOD. Maybe he's on a paired server.
No, Never? He's on HOD.
Okay, well.
Yeah. So he's really great. Last week, I witnessed a couple of his really epic command sessions when he was 100% on. And then he was sick on one day. So he was really quiet as he was commanding, and everybody was trying to be quiet and not chatter too much so you could hear him. But then he just started having a lot of fun with formations and took a really relaxed approach. We were at SMC and completely confusing the enemies, because we would just all line up in a long line, kind of Braveheart style, and then swoop down upon a blob at SMC they were defending, and we would all stay in our lanes, and then we would kind of twist around and spiral and again stay in the lanes, and it was hilarious and confusing and to the other group, and it was just a lot of fun. And then we do the flying V, and yeah, so it was a nice change of pace to the typical blob Zerg command style that, you know, a lot of commanders run. I like how Justin takes a really thoughtful approach to the way he commands. So, yeah, fun times. I ticked over to 16,000 AP. Woohoo!
Yay!
Yeah. Climbing the ranks.
What did you get out of
that one? You know, 2 gold.
Good stuff. You know, it's like a daily, but took forever. How many years to get there?
Well, you know, I've made from 10,000 to 16,000. I think it was in this past year. So definitely put a big push on getting AP this year, and it's going quickly. So, you know, I'm trying to stay ahead of Frick. It's not easy, but somebody's got to do it. So, yeah.
Yes. I don't think anybody has to do it.
Yes, I do. I use the proof of heroics from all of this dubbing. And the other thing, what is it? Is it testimonies of heroics or something?
Yes. There's,
yeah. From Poff. To unlock and complete Tempest Soul Beast Renegade. I think I may have done a couple others as well. So that's a really easy, great way to get all that done if you're in WDub anyway. And I finished Mistward Plate and Mistward Boot.
Whose dog, by the way?
That's Lona. I don't have a dog. Right. I have cats. And then finally, Sticky 4, I finished Misplaced Loyalty, which is killing the loyalist leaders in Istan in the meta. I have been trying to get this for a long time, but I had 5 out of 6. Finally got the 6th one. And I also finished Recitation of the Litany of Deeds, Funerary Shoulders box with the help of Zero and Alona. The last thing I was trying to do was take down the, or protect the grave site to get that tail. And I was really struggling with soloing it, but together we did it. And then I went and bought the rest of the funerary armor collection pieces with my elegies.
Yeah.
And I'm done with that. And then finally, I finished most of the achievements for Lunar New Year, because there weren't really that many. The only ones I have left are the race. I have 10 more rounds to do. Drubert's money grab. That's
are
not
going
to happen.
Do that? Yeah. Okay.
unless the market tanks and the red dumplings drop in price, no, can I'm not doing it.
Can you craft the red dumplings? You can't, can you?
I don't think so, because they're a rare drop from.
It would have made so envelope. Much sense if they had just made it into something that's craftable, and then you would have had a sink for a bunch of different cooking ingredients, and
yeah.
Ah, that would have been great.
Yeah, but nope, they just put it
nope.
Stupidly rare item as what he wants, and now it costs a fortune. So great. Good thinking, ain't it?
I also have to finish lighting. I only have 300 fireworks left to light, and then I'm done for the year, aside from the Dragon Ball achievements, which I'm doing, but they don't count for AP, so do they really matter? No.
I'm really happy about that, by the way.
Because I know
you
really
like Dragon Ball that much, so I'm not.
Well, I've discovered post mouse that I'm actually not half bad at Dragon Ball. So.
Oh, you mean not playing on a trackpad on a Mac makes you better at PvP? That's wow. I did not realize that.
yeah, anyway, I thought I was going to have to do the adventure several times to get the gold achievement, but I lucked out and got it my first try. So I guess I'm getting better at griffining around a little bit. So that was
you
kind of
griffined
fun.
On that?
I did.
I went around on my raptor.
Hmm. Well, there were some things that you had to kind of fly up to.
Oh, I just switched off to my Springer and jumped up. And then...
Ah, so I basically jumped, flew from rooftop to rooftop and got that done.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And finally, I bought 32 Lucky Magic envelopes on day one, plus 3 from the guild trader in the guild hall, and I netted a grand total of 1 gold.
Well, better than my luck today.
Your magic point was at 611?
Yeah. It was 611 when I opened them. Sad face. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have awful luck. Going forward, I'm going to save up my lucky envelopes and do an opening extravaganza probably right before our next show. So I will report back. Maybe
I opened
my luck
up
will be better.
16 on my first day without boosting up my magic find because I forgot. And I made like 10 or 11 gold. Ugh.
I was better yesterday than I was today as far as profit. But yeah. Oh, I was going to, there was something about that. I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, well, never mind.
Ah, well, Hunter, what have you been up to?
Well, the prices for Ectos have been way down. So I thought I would finish Coda's Blessing. So I did that.
What do you need for that? 250?
Ectos? No, you need it's like 50 per achievement, and there's like 15.
Ugh.
So it's quite a few Ectos.
Yuck.
But it looks so nice, so...
I can't figure out what character to put the aura on, so... It's just sitting in my bank right now.
What does it apply to?
Your necklace. It's a karma buff enrichment thing for your necklace. So, I don't know where to put it.
Isn't it kind of like a warm, like, fiery kind of look? I'm trying to remember...
Yeah, and it's not particularly like a big aura or anything. It's kind of subtle, I think. But
yeah, I actually saw someone a screen grab of their character, and they had it on with however they had designed the outfit of their character, and it looked amazing. Like it was like, oh, that makes me want Coda's Blessing. And then I saw this in the patch notes. I'm like, oh, that makes me want Coda's Blessing. So.
Most times I want a magic find enrichment on my character because I have, like, even after getting all the cultural weapons and stuff, I have, like, 4 million karma right now, so I don't need a karma buff of any kind.
I do.
I did T3 fractals with some folks from RO, including challenge mode for the nightmare fractal. Went pretty smooth. I think we wiped on the first boss once and the final boss once. And otherwise, it went really smoothly and fast. So that was fun. But, once again, I didn't get anything from the rewards. I spent a lot of time in World vs. World. My main goals are to finish the War Beast skin collection, then move on to the Bounty Hunter skin collection through the Crystal Desert reward track. Once I'm done with that, I'll go back to doing Triumphant Armor, which I have mostly like half done, I think, and then get the legacy skins, and then while working, that's all while I'm working towards the tentacle armor that you need to be rank 2000 to purchase.
What is tentacle armor? Is that a WW thing?
That is the Triumphant Heroes Ascended armor skin.
Is it actually named Tentacle, or you're just calling it Tentacle?
I'm just calling it Tentacle, because everyone calls it the Tentacle Armor, because if you see it, you will know what it is, because it's got tentacles coming out of it.
All right.
Gotcha.
It's not actual tentacles. It's like little ley line graphics coming out of you. It looks really cool, and that's the only reason I'm playing World vs. World, to be honest, aside from the reward drugs. Yeah, I need to be rank 2000. I'm currently rank 925. And it has taken me like 5 years to get this far to rank 925. So I may never finish that. It's possible. I did a few rounds of legendary bounty trains in order to purchase the funerary weapons. I've got 325 elegies, which is the currency. and you get an average probably 5 elegies per boss. It's really slow and tedious. It's not ideal.
Just sounds boring.
Oh, yeah. You get like 2, sometimes you get as few as 2 elegies for a legendary bounty. And like every 6 or 7 you'll get, well, more than that. Maybe once every 10 bosses you'll get like 25 or something. I did the race and the adventure for Lunar New Year's, and I think this is a great example of why ANET should spread out where their festivals are held, because the race is essentially just the same as the Winter's Day one, only in reverse around the city.
And longer.
Like, and longer.
And different route.
You go through some of the exact same places.
Switchbacks.
You go through some of the exact same places, and yeah. It's... yeah, I would love to do a race around Black Citadel or...
oh, yeah.
Or Holbrack would be particularly interesting, or...
Holbrack would be awesome. I kind of feel like there would be raging if it was in Black Citadel, because people find it confusing.
Actually, maybe it would help people get around better.
I think it would help people memorize the city better, and that would...
You're not wrong. I disagree.
Or the Grove. How fun would that be? Although I guess you can't do it in a place like the Grove because... oh, no, that you could do
it there. The Grove would be pretty good because of how it's got the circular ramps. But Radisson would be a little boring, perhaps.
It's got a lot of fall to your death areas that could be interesting to go over. Like,
Ooh, what if in the race there was... like, you had to jump across some of the places in Radisson instead of going... you know, down the ramps or whatever, if you had to clear on a raptor or a griffin, that would kind of be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing about races, is that you pretty much have to use a raptor or that's it. And there's no reason to use other mounts. And I think that they should, like, either enforce you have to use this specific mount or... something to encourage people to use Springer or the other mounts, because just using Raptor can get a little boring. And my final thing was the whole Divine Envelopes thing. I forgot I put that in the what I did this week. Yeah, I bought some Divine Envelopes, made 10 gold.
Even though you had a paltry 295% magic find.
That is my base magic find, yeah.
Paltry.
I'm 5% away from maxing it out, and I'm kind of dreading it, because once you get to max, you still get luck essences, but you don't have anything to do with them.
Can't you salvage them?
No. Luck essences?
No.
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 Okay.
So, yeah, that's what I did this week.
Every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week, we asked... how do you feel about the proposed world versus world changes? And it was actually don't care, no comment, edged out love it, love it, love it by 1%. So it was 35% for love it, love it, love it, 36% for don't care, no comment. Necessary evil was 21%, and hogwash and malarkey got 8%. Now I'm kind of thinking about, like, necessary evil and love it, love it, love it kind of go together, so the majority of people seem to be good with it.
True, but
yeah,
the 36% don't care, no comment.
I was surprised that got as high as it did, to be perfectly honest.
Usually it's much easier to say hogwash malarkey or love it, love it, love it, but don't care, no comment is so cynical.
Well, but if you think about it, it's really 56% in favor, 36% don't care, 8% no bueno, right?
Yeah.
I suppose.
So, yeah. So we did get some responses as well on Twitter. Math Mike said, it will let me play with my guild since no one is on Darkhaven. And Gord the Norn of Shadow of the Dragon podcast said, this is really the only way ANET could deal with population imbalance. In my opinion, the people that may be complaining about this change are the ones who would stack one server. I have always been on Jade Quarry and will be sad to lose that, but this was necessary. Bravo, World versus World team. Flipside said, "About time. This was the last vestiges of the pre-Megasaur Guild Wars 2. Good riddance." And then in another
tweet... Someone's really bitter about the mythy pre-Megasaur system.
No, but not wrong.
Yeah.
They also tweeted, "They should come up with new names for the new worlds so we can have fresh start without any baggage." And yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say so in the post that each world will have a random name or something.
Well, randomly assigned name, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the names aren't from existing servers. The roster, like the pool of names they draw from.
I would say that that's probably extremely unlikely.
Good. I hope so.
I would guess that that is the case. What's a Clayton said, "Party in Lions Arch, America, English District 12. Left. Yay. I like that one a lot. Neo Nugget said, "I've honestly been wanting this since well before Hot launched. Didn't happen, so I quit. But this sounds promising. I loved World vs. World so much." And then like a crying face emoji. And finally, MMO Week said, "Really not sure until we have more information. I am concerned for the little guy, the solo players." And I don't think there's going to be much changing for them, but we'll be talking about that.
I think that this is equally a good thing for the solo players. I understand what Inks is saying, because if you are attached to your server and you're a little guy player, you're basically going to be left without your server and just going to be thrown into random battle groups every single time. So that is not that great. But for players like Alona, she can now play with her friends a little easier. Mm-hmm. Instead of just being on her own off on whatever server she's on.
I just stopped playing World vs. World because the people I mostly play Guild Wars 2 with are on different servers. And so unless we went into Edge of the Mists, because we're the same color, which isn't the same as going into World vs. World, there just wasn't anything for me. But I remember, Hunter, you were saying that there's a couple commanders that you just really like to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. you're not necessarily keen to join their guild per se, but
because I don't play the way most people play World vs. World. A lot of people who play World vs. World, they join a guild, they organize their builds, they get into voice chat, they show up at appointed times and play World vs. World with their guild. I just go in whenever. I follow a commander around without joining team chat, without organizing my build to synchronize with what they're doing, and I will stop off after following commander and just defend a tower for a little bit and then go deal with my inventory. And if so, I don't want to deal with a particularly difficult battle and I die or whatever, I'll take a break. You know, that doesn't really... It's not conducive with being in a World versus World guild the way I play.
And we'll get into... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, do I want to talk about that later or now, since we're...
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to get into all of this when we go over the exact changes. Yeah.
Got me going off on a rant here.
That's fine. Oh, and I'd actually go back to this a little bit. We had 86 votes on this particular poll. I completely forgot to mention that part.
Also, going back just a quick second, Gord the Norn, his comment about this is essentially the only thing that Anet could do to really fix World vs. World, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So what did you vote for, Hunter?
Necessary evil.
Hashtag. But...
Oh, sorry. I voted for love it, love it, love it.
Okay. You were going to say something, Hunter? Sorry. I
kind of in between.
No.
And I also voted for love it, love it, love it. But that's just on the surface as it's being presented right now. Like, we don't know everything. Anyway, so.
But also, love it, love it, love it. That's a reference to Jim Gaffigan.
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, he's a comedian. Never mind. And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up is the patch notes. Another new year dawns on Tyria. Join the festivities in Divinity's Reach. The year of the dog is upon us. I'm just realizing you deleted... I put in the date of the patch notes, so I would read that.
And there was nothing there.
I didn't delete anything.
It says February 6, 2018, right in the link, though.
I definitely had February 6, 2018 or something. You guys sabotaging me.
I didn't touch anything.
The year of the dog is upon us, and the Lunar New Year festival returns with new rewards and activities. Collect and open lucky envelopes to earn essences of luck, delicious foods, fireworks, valuable items, and a chance to find a new lucky dog lantern and lucky great dog lantern backpacks. Lunar New Year achievements have been split into three categories. New Year's customs for repeatable achievements, and annual achievements that can be completed once a year. Lunar New Year for one-time festival achievements, and Dragon Ball for achievements specific to the Dragon Ball Arena. And I was just wanted to comment that now that the, like, every festival has had the treatment where they've added in annual achievements, mm-hmm. I'm nervous that nothing new will be added to future festivals, and we'll get to see what happens with that when SAB rolls around, since it was the first one to get the annual achievements treatment last year. So,
you don't think we'll get, like, purple weapons or...
I think there'll be new achievements, but they just won't be, I feel there'll be things that can be completed during that time, mm-hmm. whereas a lot of these ones were longer term achievements or achievements that were kind of like make work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them to like put everything on maintenance mode and like, so they don't have to touch SAB this year. Just maybe monetize it a bit with some gem store options and like put in like two new things or something. So
that's possible.
We'll mm-hmm. see, I guess. A new seasonal adventure has been added to Divinity's Reach for the festival. Show your speed and talent by lighting off firecrackers that are spread across the city. A new seasonal race event has been unveiled in Divinity's Reach. Ring in the new year on your favorite mount or get a head start on your exercise goals on foot to earn new annual and daily achievements. Festival goers who haven't earned festival goers who haven't earned an official mount license can speak with a race coordinator to temporarily rent a mount for a small fee.
I believe it's 10 silver, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. The Dragon Ball Arena has been updated with rebalanced skills and shorter match times. Does anybody have any info about that?
It went faster.
Okay. Great. That's the kind of detail I was expecting from the host of Ascalon crew.
Well, why didn't you go in to test it out?
Mm-hmm. I haven't been in. I haven't had the time. I thought maybe one of you had, and one of you has been in there.
Yeah. As far as rebalance skills, I don't know because I didn't play that much prior. I mean, I played a couple times. So I don't really remember. It's been a while. But the matches did go by a lot faster.
Okay, well, good enough,
I guess. I don't remember much about it either, like, from previous years. It wasn't an activity I often took part in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Lunar New Year festivities will be available until 10 a.m. Pacific. Well, that's very specific. 10 a.m. Pacific time on February 22nd, on February 24th in China. Oh, they put in the China time. That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah, World Polish. Celebration boosters and birthday boosters now grant a 10% bonus to World versus World reward track progress. About damn time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to cut this from the show notes, and Hashi was like, no, this is a big deal. People are talking about this. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's like, that's the one place I've been wanting to use my celebration boosters, but like, there's no World versus World reward track gain, and it's like, why not? It's got a PvP reward track gain.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Changed the superior rune of snowfall, a major rune of snowfall, so they no longer give a 25% damage decrease for falling. Instead, they now grant super speed when taking falling damage. So people were using, like, the major and the superior and receiving, like, 75% reduced fall damage.
Whoa.
Traits, etc. Which, yeah. So can't do that anymore, so that has taken away like a very specific use for those.
Yeah,
super speed is not so bad, I suppose.
Yeah,
but you
I
do.
I thought that was a nice trade-off.
So were people using that in like the desert borderlands, or
I don't know, but I know people were using it.
Yeah,
so it could have been any PvP where there's like height differences and stuff. I'm sure that's the reason it was used, not PvE. I doubt anybody was using it for PvE reasons, but maybe.
Now, out of curiosity, the super speed, does that wouldn't that would leave as soon as you mount it up, right?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I was just curious. I wasn't sure.
I don't think you retain boons
anything
or anything when you get on a mount. Raids. New stolen skills for thieves have been added to all encounters. Refer to the thieves section for more information. So
now, is that only in raids that the stolen skills have been added?
I believe so, because
interesting,
the stolen skills weren't very effective in raiding situations.
No,
I've always found thieving skills to be pretty useless, personally. The only use for stealing would be like if you trait for stealing and get those bonuses, but the actual skills, for in my opinion, were pretty much always terrible.
So I don't know about you guys, but I always like it when you get the it looks like an ecto essentially, but it's the thing that gives you like all boons.
Yes.
I was like, woohoo, every time I get that one.
Is that what consume plasma is? I'm not sure. But there's a reference to it in the thief section.
Ah.
In the Special Forces training area, new thief steel bundle options have been added to the Golem Recombulator options menu. Only thieves will see these options. So I guess you can practice in there with your thief skills.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to Sigil of Frenzy. This no longer gives alacrity. Instead, it recharges all currently active skills by 2 seconds after defeating a foe, which is pretty good functionality. Kind of disappointed. I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed that it no longer gives alacrity.
Well, but it makes sense why. Like,
the changes to making alacrity into a boon, a sigil that gives you a boon would be harder to balance, I assume, is why they made this change. Superior Rune of Leadership. Reduce the crystalline ore cost of this rune from 100 crystalline ore to 50 crystalline ore at the vendor in Dragonstand.
So good! Although if I had just recently bought Superior Runes of Leadership for the prior cost, I'd be kind of PO'd.
What are the specs for leadership?
It's used in meta, some of the meta raid builds.
Yes, right, and it's... I can't remember the exact specs.
I'll just really copy and paste this into another.
Behold the Google.
We know what
it's,
we're doing.
It's +8 to all stats, +5% boon duration, +12 to all stats, +10% boon duration, +16 to all stats, +15% to boon duration. So it's a boon duration rune.
That's pretty great.
And I think there was a Mesmer raid build that I was looking at, like a Chronomancer, I think, and it was using the Rune of Leadership, and I was not going to do that. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm not making a Chronomancer for raids.
It's always been like a really ridiculous cost. 100 crystalline ore will take you hours and hours to collect.
And you need 600?
Yeah, 600, which is like 24 hours of playtime or some crazy amount just to get that rune. I actually think 50 crystalline ore is still too high. But you can get it from World versus World. It says here, reduced cost at the heroics notary vendor from 2 gold to 1 gold. So you'll need like proofs of heroics or
proofs of heroics and 6 gold.
Yeah. Testimonies.
That'd be worth it.
Moving on to Piles of Silky Sand. They now have a consume all option.
Hooray!
All should consume all. Like just consume all for you. Consume all for you.
Yeah.
Everyone gets a consume all.
We need a consume all on stacks of fireworks, particularly when you're going for the achievement, because it is such a pain to click on every single one.
Yes. Okay. Moving on to general profession skills. Sink or float, the speed at which sink and float move vertically has been reduced by 50%.
What is that? Okay, I'm trying to... I understand all these words. When
you're underwater, if someone puts like a CC on you, it can be sink, and it'll stop you moving, and you will sink to the bottom of the ocean. Or float, I think. I don't know if that is a CC or not, but you move towards the, you know, the surface. I think it's because of this bug down here. Fixed a bug in which sink effects would permanently lock players in place when players were drowned or downed underwater.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably related to that.
Could be.
Okay, so Hounds of Balthazar updated the voiceover lines. I tried to use Hounds of Balthazar a couple times and get the voiceover lines. I didn't get anything.
And I think Zero was telling me he was trying that too, and same sort of thing. Didn't trigger any or didn't notice any change. I can't remember which one he had said.
Consume Plasma. This bundle now grants Alacrity for 3 seconds in addition to its previous boons.
Huzzah! It's even more awesome!
Kill credit and loot for support-oriented players has been low, and we wanted to reward players for assisting their allies. So the shared credit contributions are going up by a solid amount. You still need to tag an enemy for the bonus support credit to come into play. Standing around passively granting boons is not gambling that ought to be rewarded, but this will offer a larger opportunity to weave support-oriented skills into group combat situations and get rewarded for it.
So you didn't see it, Hunter, because I did change it back, but I had this up to like 30-point type at one point because I thought it was so awesome. I'm like, he's going to get irritated, and I made it small again.
I think it's a good change, but I don't think it needs 30-point type, no.
Says you.
So yeah, it has more specific information. Increased support credit given to players by 50% for granting boons, cleansing conditions, healing, and reviving.
And that's huge.
It's pretty good for like all areas of the game too. So
I almost wonder if it should be a little bit higher. Like not 75% higher, but just a little bit higher?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Boons and conditions. In this update, we are converting the Alacrity enhancement into a boon. For more information, see our official forum post from last week's called Alacrity Time for a Change. We should have put that in the show notes. I'm just realizing that now.
Also,
I knew there was other things.
Both the Mesmer post and the Alacrity post had fantastic titles. Alacrity Time for a Change, and I'm trying to remember what the Mesmer one now was, but it was so good. Very punerific.
Right, so Alacrity is now a boon. The recharge speed has been reduced from 33% to 25%, and that is the big news about Alacrity.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, like 8% change is kind of a thorn in people's side. No, it's something sticking in people's craws.
What's but at the same time, there's a lot more sources of it.
Yeah,
I suppose, but
well, I don't know if it is. Okay, I might be talking out my bum a little bit here, because it feels in some ways like there's a lot more sources, but they also took sources away, so I'm not 100% sure where it ends up in the wash, and so I might be fibbing.
Yeah, it's early days, and it's hard to see how it's all going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Regeneration now uses the greatest healing regeneration to immediately heal you rather than going by each regeneration stack's duration or order of application. So
that entire sentence was Charlie Brown adult to me.
Yep.
Basically, you could get regeneration based on like random people's healing effectiveness. If they accidentally put regeneration on you while someone with a much greater healing power had a regeneration on you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is fixing regeneration, even though regeneration has always been pretty weak. So I'm not sure how it's going to play out. If that makes it actually useful or not, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So, confusion. Heavily weighted damage from this condition this condition's base damage over time component to the damage on skill use component. The condition damage contribution has been removed from the damage over time component and redistributed into the damage on skill use component. This condition remains split between PvE and PvP. Clarification from Carl McLean on the official forums. Moving confusion to have condition damage contribution ticks made it a damage over time condition in addition to its hex style punishment of using skills. We needed to make a choice as to whether or not the condition was going to be used as spammable DOT or rarer, shorter, with more potency. We've decided to push confusion to be burstier and once again focus on punishing skill activation. The reason for keeping any DOT component is to message that you're under the effects of the condition, so you can be informed of it without looking at your buff bar. With that said, we'll be moving weapons like Mirage's Axe towards Torment rather than Confusion as soon as the process allows.
Okay, so I did have some thoughts on this, because I've heard people I wouldn't say like super huge upset, but I love this change. I love that it's punishing you for using skills, which is what its flavor always was supposed to be. And also they say heavily weighted, but I actually looked at the spread between the two and they're not that far off from each other. So I would say, yes, it's weighted more heavily for a skill on damage, like damage on skill use, but it's not like 400 for this and 50 for over time. It's there's just like 30 points difference between them, if that, like sometimes only like 15 or something in the one thing I was looking at. So I might be in the minority here, but I really, really, really like the condition changes. And I'm not sure how I don't have a firm opinion on the Mirage's Axe moving it toward Torment. What I don't hope they do is I hope they don't move Scepter 3, which was a Confusion Beam attack. I hope they don't move that away, like to Torment from Confusion, because that was a great Confusion stack weapon skill. So anyway, I wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the way Confusion was supposed to be, but the reason they moved it to damage over time way back was because it was really hard to balance, and it's really hard to make sure that Mesmer has a good DPS. So they moved Confusion to be damage over time, and that really worked for a while. So moving it back to on skill activation, you know, I approve, but because that's the way it was meant to be, but it's going to be really hard for them to balance it and make it effective. Hashtag, any opinion?
Nope.
Okay. Actually, I just wanted to say, Kroof Gaming in chat is saying in some cases they actually felt there was a greater divide. They have a feeling that the tooltips might be off, and they had 10 stacks of confusion on an enemy and it ticked for 200, but when the skill activated, it hit for like 1900. So okay, oh, wow. If that is the case, whoa, that's massive.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Okay, so
thanks for adding that.
Yeah, boon and condition conversion. With the addition of Alacrity to the boon system, the tables have also been updated for skills and traits to convert conditions to boons, and vice versa. The conditions inflicted when a boon is converted have been reduced in several cases where they were found to be too strong. So, there's a bunch of skills throughout the game.
Yeah.
That have been changed as a result. So you'll have to look at the
show notes. We won't list what they are, but it's Alacrity, Resistance, Chill, Immobilize, Protection, Regeneration, Might, and Vigor. Have all had changes.
Yeah. Little changes.
Yeah. So let's move into the actual profession changes.
All right. Hello. We're going to start with Elementalist, since that's first in the patch notes. And if we haven't actually said, we're going to read their rationale for changes, and we're just going to talk about some of the ones that hopped out to us as most interesting. But chat room, if any you thought were worth talking about, mention them, and maybe we'll talk about those too. So for Elementalist, in this update, we looked to improve the Weaver's sword damage and move its high healing aspects further into the Water Attunement. In this vein, we reduced Riptide's healing and increased Aqua Siphon's base and healing power contributions. Additionally, we wanted to improve less used skills in Signets and improve the Glyph of Storms so that some storms have better situational use via differentiated recharges. All right, so while I got to read this because I played Ellie more than Hunter, hashtag I only unlocked Weaver yesterday. So anyway, one of the big changes is for Signet of Water. The active form of this signet now heals allies and chills enemies in its area of effect, as well as the passive form reduces incoming duration by 20% instead of removing conditions. And there are a couple other changes to it as well, including it is now a ground-targeted skill.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Glyph of Elemental Power, in addition to its previous effects, it also now increases outgoing damage by 25% for each strike. So those were the two that we pulled out for Elementalist, and there was a lot of, like, damage increase, damage decrease, just some balance stuff.
I think Glyph of Storms is really well used, but I'm not familiar with Elementalist too much.
Yeah, and it wasn't specifically mentioned in the notes, though, which was interesting.
Glyph of Storms?
It's right there.
Where?
Right there.
Oh! Sorry. reduce the recharge of Firestorm from 60 seconds to 25 seconds! Holy crap!
Yeah.
Reduce the recharge of Ice Storms from 60 seconds to 30 seconds, and reduce the recharge of Sandstorm from 60 seconds to 40 seconds. That's still pretty long. All Storm Glyph variants go on cooldown whenever one glyph is cast. All right, I totally blotted that out without reading that, apparently. I'm sorry.
It's no problem.
It's a big change.
Engineer is up next. The Alchemy and Inventions specializations have been cleaned up and had a few complete trait replacements to allow for greater synergy within their lines. The Scrapper Elite specialization also received changes to streamline and define it as a tank specialization by adding barrier and by better linking its minor traits to the new major options. So there's a bunch of things that add barrier, which I found really interesting, and making the Scrapper into a tank, I suppose, makes sense since they're already really survivable.
I also wanted to, I thought it was interesting that other than Mesmer, I think engineers got the largest amount of changes to their traits. And there was no, like, heads up about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, whoa, because when I was reading, like, these are a lot of changes to traits.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, the traits are really minor changes.
Wow.
Aside from a few specific things. Mm. But Shock Shield is now grants some barrier. Skilled Marksman, this trait has been replaced with Thermal Vision, which grants expertise to the engineer and increased damage to bleeding foes. Anything that increases damage is going to be a major change. Like, anything that increases damage by a percentage point, which I assume this is.
Plus, I love the name Thermal Vision. That's a great name.
Yeah. It doesn't actually provide what the damage increase is, so I guess I need to look into that. Stimulant Supplier. This trait has been replaced with Purity of Purpose, which causes the engineer to convert a condition into a boon. Whenever they remove condition, the only reason I put this in there is because they named it Purity of Purpose, which is a big in joke with the player base who pay attention, because Purity of Purpose is what Anet used to describe lots of changes, and people get really angry with changes, so Purity of Purpose become like a really sarcastic way for players to comment on changes. So it's nice to see Anet has a sense of humor.
Yeah, it's like the Vial of Salt to Ascended Amulet.
Mm-hmm. Experimental Turrets. This trait now creates a reflective barrier around newly built turrets in addition to its previous effects. I love when there's a reflective barrier around turrets. Mm-hmm. That makes them much more survivable. Recovery Matrix. This is now Granite's Barrier. I'm using a heal skill. Decisive Renown. Decisive Renown. In addition to its previous effect of granting super speed, this trait now grants a barrier. Etc. Yeah,
yeah.
Impact Savant. This trait has been reworked to increase the effectiveness of barriers you receive by 15%.
Wow.
Lots of barriers.
Yeah, effectiveness of barriers by 15%. That's going to be big if people, if the barrier thing becomes big on an engineer.
That's really interesting.
And finally, Adaptive Armor. This trait has been reworked upon being struck. It now grants barrier with a 3-second cooldown, and it reduces condition damage by 20% while you have barrier. Only a 3-second cooldown for barrier on being struck. That's really good. So we'll see. And that's it for engineer. Oh, it's me on guardian shit. Spear weapons have not felt solid due to having a few too many restrictions on their use, so the time between uses was reduced for all spear weapons except for the crowd-controlling hammer. Several firebrand skills were too powerful, which became very clear in PvP and World vs. World games, so defensive tomes received tweaks in those modes. I've never used spear weapons personally on my Guardian.
I always wanted to, but there were other things that seemed to be better choices. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite intrigued by this.
Yeah, you guys went through this. I didn't have a chance to look through Guardian very closely.
Feel free to add things back in if you want to skim it. No, that's totally fine.
I'm just saying I'm trusting your judgment here.
Oh, boy. That's don't you know us?
We were like, does this sound interesting? I don't know. Let's check it out.
Light's Judgment reinstated the top-down beam effect on enemies struck by this skill. What? Reinstated the top-down beam effect.
I didn't know what that meant, so I thought maybe you would.
I love that we left it in because we were confused.
I think it's just a visual effect.
Okay. Mm.
Tome of Resolve. Reduce the base healing of all healing skills by 15% in PvP and World vs. World. 15%, that's a huge nerf to a Tome of Resolve.
Mm.
I'm looking at some of these other tome changes here.
That's fine.
It's all nerfs.
Yeah.
Tomes be nerfed.
And look at that Courage, Tome of Courage. Toughness reduced by 33%. That's a...
Ouch.
Yeah, that's a big
remove
change.
The Aegis granted by this skill. Now grant you Aegis for 3 seconds in addition to its previous effect. Yeah, well, I don't know. I have no comment as of yet. Moving on to Retributive Armor. This trait has been reworked and is now called Tenacious Defense, which reduces the remaining recharge on Virtue of Courage each time the Aegis you're granted blocks an attack.
I just realized that trait is now called Tenacious D.
Oh, that's actually really good. I thought that sounded familiar, but I was like, Tenacious Defense, does that mean something? Anyway, Imbued Haste. Reduce the attributive gain in PvP and World vs. World from 250 to 150. Yeah, that's a big nerf too. Indomitable Courage fixed a bug that would prevent Tome of Courage from gaining Stun Break while in World vs. World or PvP. Yeah. Justice Blind fixed a bug that prevented this trait's blinding attack from working with Tome of Justice. I don't know why that's still in there. It's just a bug fix. You guys are bad
I don't know
at
why.
This.
Hey, you said you trusted her.
I don't know.
You were getting after me for not jumping to the Mesmer things yet, and so I left where I was in Guardian and went ahead.
It was an hour before the show. You hadn't touched the whole Mesmer section, and that's your expertise.
Okay, well, you're overselling me, so.
Mm. Okay, all right. Moving on.
We're moving on to Mesmer? Okay.
This is the big one.
The big one.
The one we've all been waiting for.
Okay, but I've cut a huge swath of things. I said to the guys, I'm not being precious with this. I'm being brutal and cutting a bunch of things. Mesmer Phantasms were heavily reworked in this update. For more information on our goals and reasons for these changes, please see our post on the official forums called Shattering the Status Quo. That's right. That's what it was called. That was so good. In addition to the Phantasm changes, there were also changes to Confusion, which we've talked about, or Confusion Duration and Stat Counts. which are a part of a larger effort to cut down on confusion uptime in competitive modes. Finally, as part of our update to Alacrity is a Boon, also covered in its own forum post, we reworked some underperforming Chronomancer traits. Now, as far as general, and general seems like an underwhelming term for this, shatter skills now only shatter clones. Descriptions have been updated to reflect their new functionality because phantasms no longer can be shattered and no longer count towards your maximum illusion count. I love this so much. Phantasms are destroyed and then replaced by clones after completing their unique attack or if their attack is interrupted. So it doesn't, it sounds like,
it sounds like they don't stay up forever now, though.
Mm-hmm. They don't. And it's kind of awesome. So Zero and I went in, I'll continue on. Zero and I went into the guild arena to just try, like, he's traded for Chronomancer and I'm traded for Mirage. And we went in and we're just trying, and it was pretty evenly matched. Like, he won some, I won some. And it was, there's some pretty gross, like, good, like, they're not going to stay, I think they're going to be fixed. Things that that can happen now. Like, there's like, oh my god, this is good. But don't get used to it. As well.
And you're not going to say what they were?
I'll talk
about it. She doesn't want them nerfed.
No. I'll talk about it when, because I specifically left something in to mention this. One of the things that I was super excited about was downed clones. Wait, not that one. Fixed a bug in which they persist after a rally. No, I don't know why that's still in there. Sorry.
Jeez.
I don't know why I kept that in there. So specifically in traits Chronophantasma, this trait now causes phantasms to resummon themselves after the first time they would normally be replaced by a clone. A phantasm that resummons itself will not create a clone. However, that means it's phantasm, clone, phantasm. In incredibly quick succession. And that works on your downed phantasm as well, that trait. So if, as a Chronomancer, you've traded to this and you are downed, you can make Phantasmal Rogue, clone, Phantasmal Rogue in incredibly quick succession, and it will annihilate most players. It is crazy. Just saying. Granted, this is like two not super awesome Mesmer players against each other, so... Imagined Burden, this trait no longer grants might. It now causes the Phantasmal Berserker skill to spawn an extra Berserker Phantasm, but it reduces the Berserker Phantasm by 25%. Like, that's... So you get two?
Yeah.
Which is kind of... And then when they shatter, you get then two clones. It's a thing. Actually, there was one thing I... Did I keep it in here? Yes. Okay, I did. I just had to scroll down. As far as the Phantasmal Force, this trait now grants phantasms 1% increased damage for each stack of might you have when they are first summoned. Phantasms that become clones grant 3 stacks of might for 10 seconds to the Mesmer. So if you have 25 stacks of might, your phantasms start with 25% increase in damage.
Yeah, but you're only going to have 25 stacks of might in, I don't know, raid situations or...
Possibly, but...
Zerg situations.
Yeah. It still can be, especially if you get one where the pistol one now, like, offloads 3 shots in a row really quick. And if each of those have 25% increase, if you were maxed out, of course.
Mm.
As far as... weapon skills. I didn't keep any of those because they were mostly just minor tweaks to things. Utility skills. Signet of Illusions. This one is quite interesting. The passive effect has been changed. It now causes a clone to be automatically summoned every 10 seconds while you're in combat. So when Zero and I were fighting, and we weren't really fighting. We were like, okay, you hit me with a skill. Let's see what happens. So I had traded... to Signet of Illusions, and he hit me once, but I blocked. It was like he wanted to see what would happen when I blocked, so I blocked, made it a cloner of Phantasm, and then it did lots of damage for some reason. I can't remember why. But then I just kept, I didn't even hit auto attack. I just kept making clones that ran after him.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't even auto attack. once I was in combat, I just started pooping out clones. I was like, clone, 10 seconds later, clone, 10 seconds later. I was just like standing like, I don't know what's happening. So it was, it must be a hard blend because 10 seconds doesn't seem like a long time, but they seem to happen pretty frequently. So I don't know. But if it was any longer, it might not feel worth it.
You've edited out Tides of Time, which people were complaining about.
Oh, well, we can talk about it. Where was that? Tides of Time, this skill no longer applies quickness. Instead, it applies 2 seconds of alacrity to allies when the skill's wave animation passes through them. The skill now uses ground targeting.
Yeah, it doesn't work very well, and people have been complaining about the ground targeting, so... it's like it's really hard to target people now. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I had remembered that I did want to talk about that one, so thanks about that one. So then as far as Phantasm skills, there were only a couple I wanted to point... Well, okay, 4, 6, a bunch of them apparently. Specifically Phantasmal Rogue, which is the down state. It reduced the recharge from 20 seconds to 8 seconds.
Wait,
which down skill is this? I don't remember.
That is Phantasmal Rogue. Okay, you know why you've never known about it? Because no one ever got to hit it off practically. It was like you'd be down. I'm like, I don't have time to wait 20 seconds before I can fire off one of these freaking rocks. I could count on half of a hand. I could be horribly mutilated and only have half my fingers and still count on one hand how many times I've been able to successfully use Phantasmal Rogue. So
Is it the third skill or the second one? Third. Okay.
Yeah. So 20 to 8 is huge. So then it says if the rogue hits with an attack, the recharge of the skill is reduced by 25%. And it no longer has an attack separate from the Phantasm Summon, significantly reduce the skill's after cast and updated underwater casting time to better match the casting time on land. So when I was talking about with Chrono Phantasma, that this is the Phantasm clone, Phantasm no clone, but by that time, 8 seconds has passed and you could cast it again.
Yeah,
it was a thing. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with this one. I'm not sure, but I kind of love what they've done with Phantasmal Rogue, even though it's a downstate. Anyway, further Phantasmal Mage. This was the Torch Phantasm. It now creates a cone-shaped wave of fire that interrupts foes and applies burning and confusion. The fact that it does interrupts is pretty awesome, because if you've traded for that, that's kind of cool. And it only did, I think it only did burning before, and now I'm forgetting which one. But burning and confusion, and it now spawns near your target instead of near you. So this makes Torch pretty interesting, I think, for... Because I don't see a lot of mesmers using Torch, and I could be wrong, but I don't see an awful lot of them. And Phantasmal Warlock, which is the Staff 5. It used to be one Phantasm that did a bouncing attack that applied conditions to enemies. And I think it applied boons if it bounced to an ally. I could be forgetting this or not doing it quite right. It now summons 2 Warlock Phantasms that channel a beam onto your target, inflicting 2 stacks of vulnerability for 5 seconds, and each beam hits 3 times. And when Zero and I were in, this was actually pretty gross, and I wasn't even traded for it. So, and Irish Dog is telling me that Mage previously was burning in Fury. He was like, eh, Fury.
Doesn't matter, let's move on.
Yep. Finally! Phantasmal Warden, which is the Focus Phantasm, now initially spawns near the caster, significantly increased the phantasmic movement speed, and it removed the initial axe throw from the mesmer, and it now throws axes at random targets within range of 600 of itself, but no longer damages nearby targets. And something that's not in here, but it now does, it creates a dome around your character. So it's basically a protective dome. So if, yeah, so you're protected within it, if you're within its spinning.
I thought it worked like the Ranger's whirlwind defense kind of thing, where it blocked everything, didn't it? Used to?
It does, also you can trade it that it reflects.
All right, well.
But it used to spawn beside your enemy, so if you wanted to take advantage of that
you'd have to effect, move to melee range.
You'd have to be in melee range. And the initial axe throw from Mesmer was something that was added more recently. It wasn't, I think the last time that they added changes to some of the Mesmer weapons, this was one of the things they added. And I actually really like this edition, but it's fine if they take it off because now it's spawning near you. All right, I'm done with Mesmer.
Yay, on to Necromancer, the only class that really matters. Scourge Shades have long been a pain point in PvP and WW, with their rapid corruption and few tells for players to spot. Ah, I mean, as long as you're the one doing it, it's all good. In this update, we're introducing better tells for shade actions, reducing the more oppressive condition applications, and easing up on the punishing boon corruptions. On the other side of things,
why did they have to improve tells, though? What's...
Because you couldn't tell before you were getting hit with it to a certain extent. Yeah, like, so there wasn't time to react. On the other side of things, we've improved the effects of vampiric presence to make it more competitive with the auras of other professions. So to improve the tells, they added a 0.5 second warning to enemy players on either shade and on the player when activating a shade skill. So I haven't seen this yet, really. Have either of you seen it today?
No, so I can't really comment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll have to play with it a little more.
If you want to go into the guild arena, we could totally play with that and see.
Yeah. Feed from corruption. This trait now grants 3 seconds of alacrity when corrupting alacrity from a foe. That's interesting. And vampiric presence. The power contribution from the necromancer to the damage portion of this trait has been increased by about 1,200%.
Ouch.
Right?
I feel like maybe some zeros got added to this by accident. Like someone was working late to get the patch ready for launch and like kind of fell asleep on the keyboard or something.
I am reasonably certain that a lot of people were already using vampiric presence. So to see it get that much of a buff, is that a typo? It's got to be a typo.
I don't know.
Look at the next one. Look at the next one.
The healing power contribution from the necromancer has been increased about 560%.
Shit.
The functionality of this trait has been modified and currently increases its effectiveness by 100% when in shroud. This effect now has a 0.5 second cooldown.
Yeah, because necros need more survivability. So I'm glad they got these buffs. But
there was a bunch of nerfs. So this is kind of offsetting some of those things. There was a bunch of things that were reduced, like Nefarious Favor and Path of Corruption had reductions to the number of boons converted from 2 to 1 in all game modes. And then they also had increase in the cooldown of those skills. Or the skill Nefarious Favor was increased 8 to 10, Sand Cascade increased 8 to 10, things like that. So, you know, it's give or take. I don't know. It does sound pretty awesome, though. I think it's good. Sandswell increase. Okay, so I did see this today in PvP and WW. Sandswell increased the speed of the portal's formation once the skill has been cast, and altered the effect so it doesn't get cold when in high density situations. I was running with another Scourge and they were popping these left and right.
Were they pooping them out?
They were indeed. Yes. Yes.
Was it for the like golems? Were you running with golems? Because that's when I usually see Sanswell being used.
No. Oh. Nope. Nope. Just a big Zergy group.
All right.
And yeah, yeah. And then finally, Path of Corruption. Yeah, as I said before, reduce the number of boons from 2 to 1. When coupled with the Scourge specialization. Yeah, so, I mean, I always hold my breath when balance patches come out because, you know, there's that feeling like necros get the short end of the stick. But this looks interesting. We'll have to see how it all shakes up. I did go in and change my build a little bit, but I haven't touched it, honestly, since POF launched. So it needed some tweaking, and
this gave you the opportunity.
It did indeed. It did. Moving on to Ranger. For Ranger, this update focused on bug fixes and improvements to Soul Beast skills. We've allowed stances shared with Leader of the Pack to stack in duration, and we have updated several of the merged pet attack skills. We hope these changes will give Soul Beast players a wider variety of pets to play with in various areas of the game. So stances now stack with their individual duration in the case of Rangers using Leader of the Pack traits. We heal as one. This skill will now copy Alacrity in addition to its previous boons.
Hence, when we were saying there's more sources of it.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Fortifying Bond. This trait now shares Alacrity with your pet in addition to its previous boons. Ooh, lots of Alacrity. And then Fresh Reinforcement. This trait now transfers Alacrity in addition to its previous boons.
So basically just small changes to Alacrity and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a bunch of changes to pets. But interesting things, changes have been made to beast mode traits as listed below. For the bird, swoop, increase the damage of this skill that this skill inflicts by 187%. That's an odd specific skill, right? You know, like you could have seen 175% or 200%, but 187%.
This almost feels like it's someone's favorite number,
right?
And they just like want it to be this.
I almost feel like they were playing with it on the test servers and it's like 186, no, too low, it doesn't quite work. 188, no, too high.
187 is just right. Right.
It's like the Goldilocks of damage.
Oh my god. Snort laugh and you sound like a seal.
Thank you.
Oh boy. Okay. Moa. Frenzied attack. Increase the damage this skill inflicts by 100%. Nice round, normal number there.
I think you just summarize all of these.
Yeah, okay. So bear, feline, wyvern, and smoke scale. All had their damage increased by from 40% to 66%.
I have to wipe my there. Eyes.
Yep.
I'm actually crying.
Oh my goodness. Alona.
I'm better now.
And that's it for Ranger. I don't really play a Soul Beast. I just unlocked it and got it set up, but I haven't played it yet. Do either of you?
No, I don't play Soul Beast. I play like straight Ranger most of the time.
I am 10% or 12% into Soul Beast, so I need to unlock more of that one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Shush you. I at least have tracked where I'm at, so I know which things I want to progress.
There you go. And Revenant. So power build Revenants have been languishing behind their condition built counterparts. Impossible odds, phase traversal, and the focused siphoning trait were changed to give the Shiro Tagachi, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Invocation and the devastation specialization more burst potential. While targeting particular changes, the Renegade Elite specialization received several short bow damage increases, and legend energy cost improvements in PvP and WW to smooth their gameplay in a competitive arena. So the Herald facets that were active when mounting will now reactivate when you dismount. Was this a problem before?
I don't know.
Yes, it must have been. No, it was
paying attention to.
I remember. I think it was Zero who was telling me this, that they found it very frustrating. But I have heard it from other people as well. I think that it was you had to reactivate every time you mounted. And, yeah. Okay.
Zero. Big problem.
All caps. So yes.
Okay. Impossible odds. Oh no, I lost my place. That's not right. Where am I? Yes. No, Temporal Rift. The condition damage application from this skill has been split between game modes. The skill will apply 4 stacks of confusion for 8 seconds in PvE and 6 stacks of confusion for 3 seconds in PvP and WW. Whoop-de-woo. Okay. Phase traversal. The skill is now unblockable and grants 3 seconds of quickness in addition to its previous effects. Ooh. Speedy, speedy. Impossible odds reduced the energy drain from 10 to 8 per second. Gaining quickness has been replaced with inflicting a secondary strike when hitting a foe.
Impossible odds was pretty popular, so that's a nerf, essentially.
So
taking out the quickness.
But the energy drain change, that's...
But were people using it for the quickness?
People were using it for the quickness, so yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Banish Enchantment. This skill has been split between game modes. Confusion remains at 3 stacks for 6 seconds in PvE, and now will inflict 5 stacks for 2 seconds in PvP and WW. Kind of similar with Spontaneous Destruction, Split. And
yeah, lots of splits here.
Splits. Lots of splits. Dismantle Fortification. Trait has been replaced with Brutality, which grants quickness when you swap weapons and causes your strikes to remove stability while you have quickness. So this is a quickness change, right? We lost quickness with Impossible Odds.
Right.
But you gain it with this, swapping your weapons. Mm-hmm. So, what was that?
We'll see.
Yeah. And then finally, changes have been made to the Song of the Mists skills as listed below. Called the Assassin, increased damage inflicted by the skill by 86. Look, what is up with these numbers? 86% in PvE. Not 85. Not 90. 86.
Relax. It's okay.
Call the demon. The skill now inflicts 2 stacks of torment for 6 seconds. It inflicts 1 stack of torment for 6 seconds in PvP and WW. Call of the Dragon increases damage inflicted by this skill by 75% PvE, and Call of the Renegade increased the bleeding inflicted by this skill from 1 to 2 stacks and increased the duration from 5 seconds to 8 seconds in PvE.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. On to Thief.
On to Thief. We felt, and by we I mean ArenaNet, felt that the current offering of stolen items wasn't scaling well enough with the difficulty of raid bosses. So we added a selection of new stolen items that have effects tailored to the needs of a raid party. The Deadeye's Malice generation, while appropriate for normal enemies, ended up scaling poorly against larger bosses with lots of health. Losing Malice because of a Mark timeout in a long fight felt disappointing. So we updated Deadeye's Mark to preserve Malice stacks when marking the same target again. We also increased the power of several rifle skills to account for the higher health of PvE enemies. So, specifically, Consume Plasma, the one stolen skill. This skill now grants Alacrity for 3 seconds in addition to its previous boons. So that was the one that I was talking about that I loved. Deadeye's Mark, this skill no longer drains Malice when marking the same target again. Reduce the recharge from 30 seconds to 25 seconds and increase the mark duration from 25 seconds to 30 seconds. So it was a little bit of an inverse happening there, as well as the additional thing of it no longer drains. Bountiful Theft. This trait will now grant Alacrity to nearby allies for 3 seconds if it removes Alacrity from enemies. And that is kind of interesting, I think.
I guess.
It's very interesting. Hunter thinks so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like 3 seconds.
Well, it's better than no seconds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, The steel table has been updated with raid-specific skills in raid areas of the game. These skills are as follows and have been placed on certain creatures and bosses throughout each section. I'm just going to list... Do you guys want me to read what each of these do?
They look brand new, so... I think so.
Sure. Unstable artifact. Shadow step to an area and deliver a large immobilizing strike. If a downed ally is in your targeted area, you will instead shadow step that ally to your location and partially revive them. Actually, that could be super huge in some fights like Cairn.
Mm. Yeah.
Specifically, do you, hashtag? Do you remember Cairn? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever fight Cairn Hunter specifically?
Yes.
Yeah. So the... That's where I think that would be pretty awesome. Detonate plasma. Mm-hmm. Activate this skill to apply many boons to nearby allies. So I kind of feel like this is to take the place of the boon share that Chronomancers used to do that can't anymore. Am I making this up? Am I making stuff up? I might be making stuff up.
I don't know.
It's just a AoE share for consume plasma. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't know if... Replacing that would not be a replacement because it wouldn't
but
be
supplementing
as...
because I felt I think it got nerfed, not this one but the time before, the balance patch previously.
I highly doubt it'll be used as often, so
well, that's fair. Soulstone Venom. Use a corrupted soulstone to immediately remove all conditions from nearby allies. Ooh. Converting each unique condition removed into an instance of Soulstone Venom on that ally. When attacking while this venom is active, an additional strike that's sourced from the applying thief will be applied to all of your successful hits. Woo! Seems insane, actually. And finally, magnetic bomb. Throw a magnetic bomb that continuously damages and pulls enemies to a point.
Could be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Useful. I could see that one could be very useful if I'm thinking correctly. And, the one with the slublings and stuff.
Mm.
Yes?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Moving on, finally, to Warrior. Our main focus for the Warrior was to improve power damage and group utility in PvE. We approached this by adding multipliers to various trait sections and improving some base weapon damage with the intent of giving the Warrior a more viable core power build. Berserker maintains condition effectiveness and Spellbreaker continues with its disruptive behavior. They also toned down some Spellbreaker effectiveness in PvP and World vs. Worlds so that there is more time to react and counter their powerful skills. Greatsword Slice, 100 Blades, Whirling Axe, Brutal Strike all had damage increases. Banner of Tactics now applies, instead of a 10% longer boon duration, which was like one of the last remaining things that increased boon duration just without... applying concentration now applies 170 concentration to level 80.
And it was one of the, well, con DPS warriors, it was one of, you needed, that was one of the banners you would take. Yeah.
Warrior Sprint, this trait now grants a 7% damage increase while you have swiftness in addition to its previous effects in PvE. This trait now grants a 3% damage increase while you have swiftness in addition to its previous effects in PvP and World vs. World. So that anytime you get a 7% damage increase, I'm happy. But I don't know if I use Warrior Sprint or not, to be honest. I'm going to consider using it now. But that worked really well in addition to the Burst Mastery change, where this trait now grants 3 seconds of swiftness when you use a Burst skill in addition to its previous effects. And
I always like things that are in addition to previously.
And I'm not sure what else we should comment on in Warrior. Maybe Winds of Disenchantment, that's a fairly big thing, but... It's only like a minor change to it, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, and it seems like there's some splits between World vs. World and PvP and PvE, so.
Ooh. Yeah, nothing really else to go over there. Mm-hmm. Moving on to structured player versus player changes. Basically, now you can get testimonies of heroics from regional and Liberate World reward tracks. I'm not sure why that change is necessary. I don't think you should be able to get testimonies of heroics from structured PvP, but that's me.
And what do you think, hashtag?
I think it's fair.
Why is it fair? It's fair that you should go in a world versus world and get your proofs of heroics. That's fair.
But I think you're starting to see that, you know, there's reward tracks to both types of competitive play, so it would make sense that there are similar benefits to both types of play.
I can't go into world versus world and get shards of glory. So there's a vendor who will purchase various
testimonies
scrolls.
Of heroics, not proofs of heroics.
Proofs of heroics are the HOT.
No. What are the ones that are the they're like the little? I'm thinking of the icon. No. Not the testimonies and not the proofs. The something of battle or whatever.
The memories of battle.
Memories of battle, right? You can't get those.
Right. Well, I can't go. I don't. What's the other currency in PvP? I can't get that other currency in PvP. In World versus World. You shouldn't be able
evolved.
To get like a unique currency that is unique to a game mode in another game mode. So you can actually, there's a vendor for Testimonies of Heroics in PvP now, in the PvP lobby. Great. We've changed the monthly automated tournament Gizmo reward to the Champion's Dragon. I've never seen one of those. Have you guys?
No.
And in World versus World, Testimonies of Heroics have been added to the regional Living World reward tracks. That seems fitting. Remove the no gliding zone near Pangloss Rise. I didn't know there was a no gliding zone near Pangloss Rise.
Yeah. You hit it and you fall, right? That was what was happening.
I haven't seen that. I never ran across it. Like yesterday, I think it was, I was trying to glide from the keep to Ogrewatch to take Ogrewatch, and I forgot about the zones and I fell to death.
Yep, I've done that.
Anyway, that is it for Balance Patch. Moving on to the Black Lion Trading Company.
And we're at an hour for recording. I feel this is... On to the Black Lion Trading Company gem store update things with new items and promotions. For a limited time, the new set of Alchemist weapon skins is available from the Black Lion Weapon Specialist for one Black Lion claim ticket. And have either of you looked at these sets at all?
Well, yes, I have, Alona.
Yes.
Sorry.
Did you snort again? Jesus.
I did. Sorry. Yes. Did you look at them, Hunter?
Yeah, it's an amazing set.
They are quite nice. Don't you agree, Alona?
I do agree. I agree so much that I got each and every one. So actually someone, and I should have made mention of their name to say who they were, but they whispered me and they said, "Have you seen the new Black Lion weapons? They're Barry Mesmer." And I was like, okay. And then in chat, Gillies are saying, oh, well, I like the focus. It looks like a beaker. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound mesmery. That sounds like
science-y, yeah,
which is an alchemist kind of.
Right.
And then I got looking. I was like, no, it's more like bottles and genie bottles. And it almost feels like Alchemist is a little misnamed for this. Set?
No, I disagree. I think it's very alchemical and magical in that respect.
Well, yeah. Magical, yes. Okay, if you're taking, because I think of alchemists as more science than magic.
No,
because it's like the magic of transferring elements from one thing to another.
Yeah. But yeah, they're in this screen grab that they showed the staff might actually be my least favorite, but like the scepter is amazing. The torch is awesome. The pistol's really cool. It's just like this entire, like, ugh, it's so good. And the colors, the purple to the blue, and they fluctuate between. It is a fantastic set.
And not only did you buy the whole set, Alona.
Well, okay. This may not be true. So I checked GW2 efficiency. And I was the only, according to this, when I took the screen grab, the only person to have the entire set of 140 something thousand. of the GW2 efficiency thing.
They usually, like, check when someone logs into the site. That doesn't, like, automatically update for all 140,000 people at once.
And that's fair. And that's fair. So, like,
but at the moment,
I recognize. when I looked at it, that's what it said. And, yeah, like, there's some... I mean, I don't hate the staff. Like, don't get me wrong. It's just, I find it, I find it bulky, but it's still good.
Are we going to talk about every single skin?
No. Okay, I won't talk. Okay, I'm done. I'm done talking about this. They're so good. I love them all.
I have to admit, Anet has been, like, knocking it out of the park for these sets for the past 6 months or something, and I can remember entire sets where it's like, oh, this is ugly, I don't want this set, like the Mordrum set or the Dominator set, the Beast Slayer set. Those were all terrible sets. No offense to the artists that came up with them, I just, like, they do not appeal to me on any level. And the last several sets have been really good. Glacial, this set, what was the set before Glacial?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
I can't remember. They're starting to blur together, and I think...
Yeah, there's so many.
There have been, like, I almost bought the full set of... Oh, the one that looked almost oily. You know the one, like, had purple and green color scheme? Very sleek. I almost bought the full set of that one, but didn't. Anyway, and yeah, they're just... They've been so good, and... Even if I haven't got any, like, the previous one, the Shifting Sands set, I liked them, but I just didn't, like, yeah, I'm okay not getting any of these ones. This one, it was like, yes, 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 like, down, down. And I like that they're putting out sets that I can recognize that they're cool and interesting. They may not be aesthetically something that I want to pick up, but they have to make things that appeal to a variety of people. So if it's not this one, maybe it's the next one. Make it oily and purple. It did look really cool, that set. All right, moving on. For a limited time, the Zodiac weapon skins return to Black Lion Weapon Specialist for 5 Black Lion claim tickets, and the Devoted weapon skins return at a reduced cost of 2 Black Lion claim tickets. And of course, it goes into talking about the keys, we all know about the keys. I'm kind of hoping this reduces the costs of some of the Zodiac weapon skins, because I really, really, really want the Warhorn, because it's a rooster. You blow into it and it makes me laugh every single time.
Oh my gosh.
And I want it.
I don't get it. What's so funny about blowing a cock?
Yeah.
It's funny.
I want to give it to you now so that you have it. As well, the new Lucky Dog harvesting tool is available in the upgrades category of the gem store for 1,000 gems. And I have not actually looked at this yet, but I can already tell I want one, to be perfectly honest, because puppers. Have either of you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it. I wonder how long the animation is, because I have not seen it.
Yeah. It's also a shepherd, which is super adorbs. And as far as improvements, the Black Lion chest has been updated to the Year of the Dog chest and can be previewed for its full list of contents. The Evan Nashblade Lucky Envelope has been added as the new guaranteed item. The Fire-Breathing Longbow and Fire-Breathing Quiver are in a new package that's available as an uncommon drop for the duration. I have not got it yet. It seems like it's more rare than uncommon, but it is the most ginormous longbow I've ever seen in the game.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Looks kind of like the Jade one, doesn't it? I can't remember.
It does. There are, color-wise, very different, but there is certainly very thematically very similar. Like, it definitely has the same feel, the same vibe as the Jade weapons. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. It's one of those, I want it, but I don't know if I'd use it on any character. But it's so outrageous, I kind of love it. So.
You'd have to have the right look.
Yeah. Yeah, Kroof and Chad is saying they wish the Dragon Hunter longbow was that longbow. And don't disagree, gesturing broadly. Don't disagree.
I mean, you know, they're spending all this effort on this bow instead of the supposed scepter. So,
yeah, for a good reason. The Griffin Hatchling package remains available. It's an uncommon drop. And the Crimson Lion Weapon Collection and Lovestruck Weapon Collection are available as uncommon and rare drops, respectively. All of these are for the duration of the Year of the Dog chest. And then finally, this is more not necessarily the trading post, but growing crops that are planted in the Black Lion garden plots can no longer be removed unless the player has a seed pouch equipped in order to prevent players from accidentally uprooting crops while gathering. Totally happened to me. And I only did it once. So I'm like, I was super careful after that. Did you ever have that happen, Hashtag?
Yes.
Yeah. So yep. That's a nice fix.
Yep. All right. And now, the big kahuna. We are going to kind of do a whirlwind tour through the world restructuring notes that we received. Was it only last week? I feel like it was.
It was last Tuesday, think.
Yeah, about a week ago. So we're going to just pull out a couple things that we find interesting and want to talk about. And so we're starting off with a message from McKenna Birdrow. I want to update everyone on the design we currently are investigating to help achieve population balance between worlds and the goals we hope this new world restructuring system can achieve. The goals of the world restructuring system are create great matches, handle population fluctuations, balance teams, and diversify WDUB experiences. It is important to keep in mind that we are still investigating and working on this system. And that is good to note, even though, you know, they published all of this information, they are still very clear that they are looking for feedback and this is not set in stone. So yeah. As to restructuring the worlds... in the new world restructuring system, we will remove all players from their current worlds and make new worlds every 8 weeks. This will create more granular pieces, and since worlds will no longer exist, the world selection that is currently available in character selection will be eliminated, and instead a selection for the player to indicate whether they're playing in New York. Playing in North America or Europe. And they'll make that selection instead. This is good, but as somebody who has remained loyal to a small server through quite a long time, I can understand how it's going to be tough for people who say WDUB is their only play mode and they are tight with that group. It's going to be kind of hard because that's their identity, but I think it's a good change.
It's going to get into this a little bit further down in the post, but I'm going to save my thoughts till the end. Sorry.
Okay. World creation. World creation builds teams, so they have similar predicted participation, skill, coverage, and language. Team assignment moves players onto teams by calculating the contribution values of a player and using that calculation to distribute players fairly. We plan to track stats like play hours in WDUB, commander time, and squad size, time of day, and participation levels. This is an amazing algorithm. Coming from like the computer science side, I'm pretty interested in the back end of this. So,
yeah, I'm really curious as to like how much resources that's going to take, how much of their time to do that algorithm and work with it.
Well, I kind of feel like that they probably have a lot of those algorithms already created, or
well, they have the data.
Yeah,
it's going to be a question as to how they tune it. So, what receives more weight than others, and like Hunter was saying, the amount of time and power that it takes to crunch all those numbers all the time and work those things out, resource wise, very interesting, and perhaps somewhat relevant to them switching to the AWS server stuff, so they have more power to play with a little bit there. Playing with guild mates, guilds will be able to specify if they are a WW guild. This essentially means the world restructuring system will consider that factor at the start of each season when assigning the guild to a world. On an individual player level, once a player's guild has specified that they are a WW guild, the individual player will be able to set one of their guilds as their personal WW guild. When world restructuring happens at the start of a season, as long as you have specified your WW guild, you will be assigned to the same world as everyone else in your WW guild, so you should be able to play with your guildies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really conflicted on what I'm going to do here, like what guild I'm going to pick, and if I should join a world versus world guild.
So here's kind of what I'm thinking. Because the algorithm, now I could be 100% wrong, but I'm wondering if, like, you were... This is what I was going to talk about earlier when we had the poll, but you were saying that you would not choose Mach because we're not primarily a world versus world guild, and that totally makes sense. And you do world versus world a fair bit. But I was actually thinking about it after that. I think by virtue of us being in a guild, we may end up being paired with whatever guild you're with. There's a possibility. So that
since we're on each other's friends list.
Yeah, yeah, but
and guild not and
but the problem with that is, let's say Hunter has a guild, a WW guild, the chances are that his alliance would be filled, and so we wouldn't get bumped necessarily into that.
Yeah,
no, not necessarily, but we might also just be one of the, like, our guild would maybe be, let's say, 10 players that want to go into world versus world that actually say, yes, we're going to go into world versus world, and Mach is the guild that we are choosing to do that with. We might just kind of be like, and here, you fill this, we need 10 more players, you go in with this guy because he's in with these alliances, and or with this big guild that has, it needs to be figured out, but I was thinking about it after, and I was like, you know what, and it's not saying that it would happen every time, but I think there's probably a fairly good chance that we would end up being able to play together anyway.
Maybe. I think it's fair to say that it's going to take a little time, especially, you know, the first couple times that they, you know, the seasons where they work it out and hash out exactly how it all fits together, which transitions into talking about the seasons, Hunter.
What?
That's you. So-
Where? What?
No. This is all you.
Oh, are we down that far? I'm sorry.
Yep, we are.
All right. So seasons. Seasons have been broken up into stages, but the only thing I'm going to mention, basically, is that if you are playing World versus World with Guild A this season and decide to get set Guild B as your World versus World guild in the middle of the season, you will not be able to play with Guild B until the next season unless you transfer. That's the only real change season-wise. Mm-hmm. Transfers. There are plans to allow transfers between worlds during a season. This means that new worlds will have size restrictions on them as they do currently. Players will be able to select worlds from the World vs. World panel in-game. Worlds that are available for transfers will show up in the new World vs. World panel. I guess that's one way to continue monetization of the World vs. World playing. Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, because that'll help them justify making changes and stuff in their existence. But transitioning to this system, this is the last part. This system is going to take time to make, several months, in fact. And once this system is ready, we plan to give everyone several weeks to form their world versus world guilds and alliances. We also want to give titles related to the worlds on which players currently are playing.
Also, that seems to indicate that those world names will change. Because if your title is something like, mine has something to do with Sanctum of Ra'al, then that would be something that would stick with me even though Sanctum of Ra'al is no more. And so it would seem to indicate that there won't be a new Sanctum of Ra'al.
And that, I do like this. I like this a lot. Like, I still like the Hall of Monuments, even though it's, like, super long time since the beginning of the game and all that sort of stuff. This kind of has that vibe to it, even though it's just a title. But I like this, that they're thinking along those lines. Mm-hmm.
And that's it for the World versus World proposal proposed changes.
All right, and we did all talk about what we liked about it. And yeah, I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic about this change. I recognize that it could potentially go sideways, and I thought it was interesting, even though we didn't necessarily talk about it, where they acknowledged that the world linking was there. Let's see if we can do this instead of starting from scratch. And it was like, now we got to start from scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. My biggest concern is the smaller servers that people actually want to be on, where they're looking for that quieter play style. They're not looking for a server that has high population. People who like to roam, or, you know, little Havoc squads or whatever, they're not looking for constant big Zergy play. And that if these are balanced more towards total coverage times, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that hashes out.
Mm-hmm. I realize I never finished actually formatting this, so I apologize.
It's all right.
I'm just going to do this really quick.
All right. So, everyone has critiques about the games they play, but we like to keep things positive too. So in our Good Apples and Grumble Cakes segment, we ask you to send in your thoughts on one positive thing and one negative thing. And Alona, is this you?
No, it's flip side parallel. Sorry, I meant to... When I said I forgot to finish formatting this, I really forgot to finish formatting this.
All right. So Flipside Parallel had this to say. My good apple is that using the Total Makeover kit, with that I can rework my alt char to have Tybalt's face in honor of the best mentor ever.
Agreed.
Very good. But my grumble cake is that I can't use any unlocked skin on a piece of armor. The arbitrary division between light, medium, and heavy is silly stupid. Maybe I'd like my elementalist to wear heavy armor or whatever.
So this is something that my friend Key has mentioned several times to me as well. I get it, but I'm and I felt it on occasion too. Like, I would really like this medium piece on a light, but it's a thin edge of the wedge, and I kind of like the division.
So. Yeah, but then there's the whole argument of outfits.
Yeah. Yep. Fair enough.
And then at some Doug posted the following good apple. The foraging German Shepherd. Every game is made better with a German Shepherd companion. Grumble cake. Needing a foraging German Shepherd because I accidentally deleted my character that still had my only set of unbreakable collection tools equipped. Oh.
You can still contact support and get those back.
Okay, that is a grumble cake, but contact support.
Contact support.
I will contact support over Paula, which was a free item. You should totally contact support over something that you paid actual real life currency monies for.
Yeah, I contacted support when I bought the wrong item for some collection thingy and they fixed it for me. So... Yeah.
But that was like a lot of gold or something, wasn't it? Yeah. Like 25 gold or...
Mm-hmm. No, 100.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Flipsides was in hashtags call from the previous show, but it came in a bit late and we didn't see it in time, so apologize, Flipside. And So that's a grumble cake on our part that we missed that. And my good apple is some Doug sent us this without us asking. We never asked this week at all. And he sent it in. And I was like, woohoo! When I saw that, I was really excited.
Wasn't there one like today or something? Did you guys check lately?
That was some Doug, I think.
Yep.
Was it? You're sure? I'm going to check.
Okay, I'm...
Oh, no.
Well, no, I'm not entirely sure.
But no. Maybe we'll have another one for next time.
I almost feel like we should have a hashtag for Good Apples and Grumble Cakes so that
we
can just like tweet out reminders once in a while, and then we can just have like a constant pool we can draw from.
Ooh, I like the idea.
Yeah.
Doug. Oh, it was some Doug. Okay.
All right. Moving on, finally, we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings, and propose a toast to their existence, the Toasts of Ascalon. This episode, we wanted to mention that Ruby tweeted out on the Guild Wars 2 Twitter, "Last Friday, we asked you to tell us your stories about your adventures with friends and loved ones in Guild Wars 2. Now, using the magic of friendship and hashtags, we're collecting them on a dedicated page for everyone to see. Take a look at," and there's, it's guildwars2.com/en/friendships. And the hashtag is, it was hashtag GW2Friendships, I think it was.
Whatever it is, it's super corny.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it appeals to a certain crowd. I think especially like the RP crowd, but also people who met their significant other in game and like to share those stories. ArenaNet likes
lovers.
Okay, so I quite like it, and I've been seeing it go past my dash. I wouldn't say I'd necessarily go to a dedicated page on Guild Wars 2 to read them, but because I'm on Twitter a fair bit, I like going through and seeing those, like, running by my dash.
Yeah.
So, that is something that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. And that is it. Woo! That is the show! It's so long.
Thanks for that burst of enthusiasm, hashtag.
You're welcome. You can contact me, hashtag, on Twitter at #thetag, that's H-A-A-S-H, the tag, or sig.1735, that's S-I-G-G.1735. In-game, you can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter, and you can engage Alona at One Big Pear, as in the fruit, or in-game at onebigpear.1249. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com. Grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app, or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on February 21st, so put that in your calendars. Good show, everyone, and may the lucky envelopes be ever in your favor.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, did you write that hashtag?
I did indeed.
Okay.